Good morning. This is Pastor Irvin Schmidtke from the Free Lutheran Church of Roseau in Roseau and also the Free Lutheran Church of Norland at Salo, Minnesota. We are bringing you the message again this morning, and we pray that it will be a blessing to each one of you. We plan on doing this each Sunday, and we, as long as the virus is in effect, and maybe even longer. So let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you, Lord, for your wonderful message. We thank you for your mercy and your grace that you have given to each one of us. Help us, O Lord, as we look at your word today. We see what you have to say to us, and we see, O Lord, what you want us to know and hear. Help us to speak the words that your Spirit gives us. And help us, O God, to have our hearts and minds in tune with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time, we'll be favored with a song from Rhonda Rothenberger.
Call him Lord.
I would like to read the pericope lessons for today, and I usually read all three. The first one is found in Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 through 16. For thus says the Lord God, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep. So will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away. Bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment. Then we look at the epistle lesson for today is found in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I am a fellow elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. The gospel lesson for today is found in John chapter 21, verses 15 through 25. And so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Then Peter, turning around, and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? And Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Then this saying went out among the brethren, that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but if I will that he remains till I come, what is that to you? This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which, if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. As we look at this portion of Scripture, we see that Peter denied Christ three times. When Christ restored him, he asked him three times, "Do you love me?" And in that, Jesus was asking, "Do you love me?" The agape love, which in Hebrew, the agape love is the most strongest love anybody could have. God so loved, God so agaped, loved the earth or the world and the people in it, that he gave his only begotten son. But Peter was using the word phileo, which means one step down. I admire you and I want to be with you, but I can't have that strongest love for you like you have for me. And so we see that so very plainly. And when we go back into the Old Testament and we see that God himself was talking to Ezekiel. If you look at the book of Ezekiel, you will find that in there he is one of the major prophets, tells about what happened, what is present, and what is future, the future happenings in the world and the things to come. As we look at that portion of Scripture, we find that Ezekiel wrote and told exactly what God told him to write through the Spirit leading him and guiding him all of the way. Ezekiel was written some few hundred years before Christ was born, and we find that on the text that we read, God himself had told Ezekiel that the priests of that day had been feeding themselves and making them laws and in which they wanted the people to live by, laws which were mankind, laws that didn't make any difference, but they wanted men to look at them as something important, and they would go around in long clothing, having Bible verses written on their garments and things to make them look important, and they would do prayers in the street corners looking very religious and pious. God told them back before the scripture that we read, he says, "My people," or "my servants, they are weak, and the shepherds of Israel who feed them feeds themselves." It tells us that in the beginning of chapter 34. "The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought out what was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled over them." And we find that the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees did just that when Christ was even here on earth. They wanted a sign. Yet Christ in his glory, he came and he was sent by God. He says, "God sent me. I did not come on my own. I was sent by God the Father. I speak only the words that God the Father has told me to speak, and I do the work of my Father only." These you can believe and trust in. You can believe I am the Son of God because God has sent me to the earth to testify in love of how he loved the world and how he has sent me into the world, and yet you do not believe, you do not take and accept me for the Lamb that has come into the world. We find then too that Jesus took the cruelty for all of us as he was arrested and as he was made fun of through his 3 years of ministry here on earth and when he was growing up and into the trials before Pilate and the Sanhedrin. We find here too that in the Old Testament, God says, he's speaking into the future, our future even, when Christ returns, that he will arrest Satan, and Satan will be bound 1,000 years in prison. And God says, Jesus then will be ruler of the world from Jerusalem, and it will be a time of peace and tranquility, a peace in which Satan cannot hinder us, a time of peace when all peace and the glory of God will be seen by all people. If we were to look a little bit at this portion of scripture that we read, we find that I will, or the will of God, is written 18 times in verses 11 to 29. And we find that with a few verses more than what we read, yet we find that this is what God has told the Israelites, and he has told Ezekiel to write in his book and to warn the people of the day that's coming, that to warn the people of everything that is going to happen. We find Jesus says, I am the shepherd. I am the shepherd, I am the door, I am the one that calls my sheep by name, and they know me, they follow me, and he says, I am the one that will go out and search for that one that is lost. I have 100 sheep, for example, if one goes lost, I do not say, well, I got 99 left. I leave the 99 and I go out and search for that one that is left, that one that is missing, the one that became a vagabond, the one that turned against me. I go out because I want all people to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. If we look into Peter, we find there too, Peter, who had denied Jesus Christ, and he was denying Jesus as Jesus was dying for him on the cross. And Jesus was being persecuted. When Peter wanted to warm himself, he went to this fire and he denied that he knew Jesus. We find that Peter then, in and of himself, was very sorrowful. And in that sorrow, he went out and wept bitterly. When he looked and Jesus was in the porch and looked out at Peter, and Peter remembered that Jesus had said, you will deny me 3 times before the cock crows. So Peter went out and wept bitterly, not knowing that he would be restored back to his apostleship and be put down into the discipleship as one of the main people. Peter had to come down from his pride and into his humbleness. And in that humbleness, he came down. And remember, Peter was one of those that went with Jesus to the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter was one of those that was at the tomb when Lazarus was raised from the dead. Peter was the one that walked on the water, and he had told Jesus, if you are the Lord, call me to come to you. And as he walked on that water and he had his eyes on Christ, he was okay. He seen the waves coming at him, and he got scared and started to sink. Here in our scripture text in John, it says they were out fishing and Jesus told them to come in, and Jesus already had breakfast for them and served them very, very good. If we wanted to look at the Psalms, we could look at Psalm 22, and it tells us of the Good Shepherd. This is Jesus Christ himself. He gives his life for his sheep. Psalm 23 tells us that he is the great shepherd. He watches out for his sheep and he watches over them. Psalm 24 tells us that he is the chief shepherd and that he is coming again. We find all of this so true. We find, too, that Peter tells the ministers and the elders of the church, don't think you're high and mighty. Be humble and present the word of God, that it is through the Christ dying on the cross of Calvary, being buried and raised the third day, that your salvation is through there. Jesus cried, it is finished on the cross. And he rose that third day to show us that there is life after death, that life is immortal, and our mortality puts on immortality. We find that so very, very plainly. In our scripture today, we find that when Peter told Jesus, I admire you and I want to be with you, but as far as agape love, it's hard for me to say I love you more than anything in the world. If you'll notice, the first time Jesus came to him, Jesus said, Simon Peter, do you love me more than these, the other disciples, the world, and all of these things? And Peter says, yes, Lord, I love you. Then the second time and the third time, he said, does not say more than these. But he reinstitutes and he gives Peter his place back as an apostle and as a disciple. And he tells Peter how he will die. It is told and recorded that Peter died upside down on a cross, that his cross was not one like Christ has, but it was an X, and he was turned upside down because he said, I have no right to have my head straight up. When Jesus died for me, his head was up, mine should be down, and they killed him and put him on that cross upside down. We find that Jesus had told Peter, follow me. It doesn't matter what I do with the other disciples, but you follow me. And in that, we find that Jesus is telling if John was to live till he returned, that was no business of anybody else's but his. We find, too, that John outlived all of the disciples. John lived outside or longer than anyone. Why? He lived to be about 95. He gave us the Gospel of John. He gave us the three epistles. He gave us the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation tells us of the coming on the world, not only the disasters, but the love God has for us, and he will put away sin. And as he puts away sin, he will take and do away with Satan altogether. Satan is arrested for 1,000 years, and then it says he's loosed for a short season. The first thing Satan does is go to all the armies of the world or the kingdoms of the world and gets their army. And in that, he wants to take and fight against God, against Jesus Christ in Jerusalem. And God then sends down and does away with Satan, and he is cast into the lake of fire. And it tells us very plainly in Revelation that the beast and the false prophet are already in the lake of fire. Satan is cast into the lake of fire, and all those who do not believe and have Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior are cast into that lake of fire forever and forever. God's mercy is gone from them. God's mercy is with those who accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. We find that we must have Jesus as our heart, in our heart as Lord, that he should be Lord of our life, of our will, of our mind, of our all. Are we willing then to have Jesus Christ Lord of us completely, that we live and that we live for him, glorifying his holy name and his holy name only? We find that in this, that God will take and work through us and help us to live for him. And we find, too, that if we see what Jesus had told Peter, feed my lambs. The new converts in Christ, we are to bring them up in the admonition and nurture of believing in God and trusting in Him in all things. Then he says, tend to my sheep. We are to take the ones that's already Christians and help them to learn, to study, and to realize the grace of God Almighty. We are finding out too when Jesus says, then he feed my sheep, that we are to feed on the Word of God. We are to feed on the glory that God has given us. We are to feed on what the Holy Spirit has led us to do and preach and teach, not for filthy gain, but to do it willingly, because we want to see all the people come into God's glory and into His heaven. We want to see the people accept Jesus Christ, and those that are on the fence, straddling the fence, would take and say, I need you, Lord Jesus. I come to the cross. And on that cross, I come before you asking for forgiveness of sins. We look then even at 1 Chronicles 7:14, which we brought up before. And it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and repent of their sins and call upon me, I will forgive their land and forgive their sicknesses. And we find that so true, that as we call upon God, He will take and forgive us of our sin, that He will help us to do His will, that He will help us to live for Him day by day, that in it all we can pray for God's guiding hand. He will take and help us defend off Satan, as we remember the words of Scripture. This is why we read and study the Word, is so that we know we can go against Satan. Not that we're stronger than him, but if we have the Word of God, as Jesus was in the wilderness and the Satan come to him and said, if you're the Son of God, make these stones bread. Jesus says, it is written, you shall not live by bread alone, but by the Word of God, which proceeds out from what he has said. God said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. And I pray that each of us will not leave God, nor go away from His calling, not go away from His wanting to lead us day by day. As, as we look at this, we find that God is with us. He is watching over us. And as we believe, because we believe on the word that has been preached by the disciples, let us now at this time close in prayer. Heavenly Father, watch over us and keep us, I pray. Help our hearts and minds to be open to you and to your word.